Hello, and welcome to another fantastic episode of the Co-Opticast. It is September 11th, 2013, and this is episode 113. I've got the full crew with me tonight in Jason, Locke, and the badass penguin himself, Nick Paleo. And it's hot. There's severe weather warnings for, you know, half of the people here, and let's just get right into it. Let's talk about what we've been playing. So let's go with Locke first this time. Because I saw you put something in your
mouth. He's totally unprepared. Yeah, let's all start drinking something.
Okay.
I don't want to talk horrible.
Couple things. Not too much crazy stuff. Checking out some of the Guild Wars 2 content they put in. They actually have a thing going on right now called Super Adventure Box, which is their April Fool's joke of last year coming to an actual... It's like an actual, not add-on, but sort of instance that you can go do, and it's an 8-bit platformer, and it's glorious.
Yeah. It was pretty funny. I remember for the April Fool's joke, they actually replaced the main menu music of the game with like a chiptune version of it.
Oh, they don't have the main menu, but the menu in the instance is on chiptune. Okay. So just thought I'd comment on that. I've been playing quite a bit of Guild Wars. One of my friends actually got a job at ArenaNet. We're getting the old band back together running some dungeons. So I know there's a few of you out there that, Mike, you're torn between Final Fantasy now, but always welcome to come run some dungeons and such. And
I still don't.
You don't
have
need
a max
level
character
though, man.
Guild
like
Wars,
the dungeon, I haven't even done the story dungeons for the lowest, and that scales. Like that's the beauty of Guild Wars; it all scales. Like you can progressively get there, and you don't have to invest a ton of time. So yeah, I'm gonna keep doing that, and then start a couple new tunes. I forgot. I'm not a seasoned MMO player, so I forgot that people call them tunes, which is. It's so
pretty stupid, isn't it?
That's such a dumb name. I was like reading about like the different classes, and there's like, oh yeah, I think I'm gonna try out a cloth tune next time. And I'm just like throwing my friggin'
from the desk. I'm done. Like, why do I have to play this game with other people? You're all idiots.
And that's, I don't know. There's not very few things about gamers that bug me, but that is one of them. When they say stupid shit that. Doesn't make any... A tune! It's not a cartoon!
Well, then I've got a Final Fantasy XIV story for you when it's my turn.
Played Skulls of the Shogun today, streamed it. It's a nice little strategy game. Worth your time and money, I'll just say that. There's not co-op in it, but it's fun. They did a really good job with it. Some interesting things for a basic tactical strategy game, turn-based strategy game. Gardens of Middle-earth. Nick and I have been dipping in and out over the last week or so. That's the Lord of the Rings MOBA. More of a MOBA light. It doesn't actually contain any in-game, and when I say in-game, I should say in-match currency. You're not buying any items, so the whole item build is out of the picture, where you only have to focus on your hero and the hero skills. That being said, there's a good roster. I'm very impressed with the roster. There's, you know, your typical Legolas, Aragorn. They got hobbits in there like Bilbo and Frodo, Sauron, Saruman, Gandalf. They, you know, all the staples. But then they...
Are you rolling a sweet
dude? Dude,
Hildebrand right
is insane. He has like... He throws fire barrels and like... shit.
Oh yeah, he's awesome lane control.
But yeah, that being said, like the secondary characters that they've integrated in this game is awesome, and that's why I really like it. I like the cast. I do have a soft spot for Tolkien and Lord of the Rings stuff, so that does play into my love for it a bit. But I'll say what I said about like Awesome Knots. Like Awesome Knots is a great awesome game. Fuck, it's a great game to get into MOBAs. I know that. Dota and League of Legends and Heroes of New Earth back in the day, very, very steep learning curve. These Guardians of Middle Earth does not have a steep learning curve. It's nice. It's a nice balance between going in, learning the skills for one hero, getting good at that hero, and then sort of expanding to different things like ganking or, you know, pushing a tower with five guys and getting those basics down and not having to worry about too much clutter like items and hero builds and that sort of thing. Because you get to max level 14 very quickly, I found. And the other interesting thing that they do is you can upgrade your turrets and your barracks. And the barracks are the things that send out the creeps every, you know, 30 seconds they send out another wave of creeps. But yeah, I think it's really good, and the PC version of the game looks great. I think I didn't play the console version, but definitely worth your time if you like MOBAs, or if you are scared of Dota and want to get into this style of game, because it's a lot of fun to play with a couple friends. Even Nick and I, just the two of us, it's a lot of fun sort of coordinating attacks and trying out different combos of characters mm-hmm. and skills and stuff.
How's the network code? Because I remember, you know, Nick and I really, really, really liked the Xbox version of the game, yeah. But, you know, once the game came out, the servers basically tanked.
It's okay.
It seems better, I thought. Yeah. It's like, there wasn't like lag issues. We had a few issues with people dropping. Yeah. What was surprising, though, was there didn't seem to be a lot of people playing.
Like, we had maybe at most four when we did like a co-op match, and there's room for five, and like, I think two of them dropped out, so it just ended up being Nick and I anyways, so. So it is weird, and what's unfortunate is what that does is it really imbalances the game, because the towers and the, like, if you're playing against bots and doing a co-op match and one person drops, it takes out a bot. But at the same time, it doesn't balance the creeps or towers, because, you know, towers are meant to be pushed with multiple heroes. You know, if you're missing a guy, it just, the whole dynamic of the game gets ruined if you lose a person. And that's why penalties are so strict if you drop a game in, like, Dota. Like, it's important, so. Yeah, but in terms of, like, general network and, like, smoothness, it's fine. Like, it's good. But, yeah, Guardians of Middle-Earth. It, thumbs up for me, I think. And Nick, too.
Awesome.
That's it. We popped friggin' Jason's Payday cherry, finally.
Good. Hey, let's talk to Jason. I see you have a problem.
I do. So, and actually, during that whole discussion of Dota, I was looking up loot tables and stuff like that, so you can tell how enraptured I am by Dotas. My brother-in-law bought Borderlands 2 on the PlayStation 3, like, close to when it came out. And he played through it with a few different characters, but didn't have anyone really to play with. So we were talking about it over Christmas, and he was just like, well, you have it, right? I was like, yeah, but I got it for the 360. He's like, And we started talking some more about it. We got really talking about the loot tables and all this other kind of stuff, and that launched me back into playing the game when I got back. And then we talked about it more over the summer, and it was just like, well, you know what? It's got to be $20 now. I was just like, yeah, it probably is $20. I was like, all right, I'll go pick it up. So picked up all the DLC, Psycho. He and I are playing through it now with the Necromancer and the Psycho, and I love that game.
Psycho, is this Pokemon?
Psycho, yeah. It's one of my tunes. So it's good to get back into. I'm still having fun with it. Looking forward to actually being able to play through some of the new content and stuff like that with him. So it's fun.
Sweet.
Aside from that, yeah, finally got a chance to check out Payday 2. Definitely interested in checking out more of it, because that was pretty crazy intense. Nick shaking his head there. We uploaded it. I don't know. Is it up somewhere right now, Nick?
Yep. Yeah, it's on YouTube. I published it over there, so you can watch us fail a few times.
And then get it right, and then have a mulligan.
I find Payday 2 often ends in failure.
It does. Yeah.
That game is not easy when you're first getting started.
No, yeah, and like, I was only level 1 and everyone else was, well, I guess Nick was like level 2.
See, that was the problem I had is when I first started, Nick was like level 14 or something, and you know, everybody would play, you know, I think we played with Scott from COG, and he is like level 30 or some like ungodly level. And so I have no abilities, and I have basically no build, and they're both carrying the match essentially, and there's one bot, and it was just a slaughter.
Yeah.
Cause I sucked. Because it was my first time playing, and that's not a game you just drop into.
Here, Mike,
and get
you
good
can hold
at.
The
You've
drill.
You've got to know. Don't as basic as I did.
If it goes off, just press the button.
Just
press
fix
button.
It.
Okay.
Just fix it.
Yeah. Identify the problem and fix.
That's right. So that's I like the fact that it kind of combines a lot of different things we've seen with different co-op games that we talk about. So the being able to collect and unlock skills with, I don't know, Borderlands 2 or any of those kind of things. But the actual gameplay when you get into it remind me a lot of Monaco. While the soundtrack reminded me of Hotline Miami at times, I was just like, I'm putting on a mask. Do I have to go chop up some person and try over and over again?
I like to imagine that Hotline Miami is an alternate universe take on Monaco. Just
get behind
just
that. I could get behind that.
Okay. I don't think anyone was picking that up when you first threw it out, but all right. I think that's interesting theory. But yeah.
It's because they're both top-down games, and I'm very shallow. Do I need to keep explaining the joke?
No,
or
yes, no, keep going.
Fuck on.
So anyway, so hopefully... oh, okay. I get it.
I'm done.
Well, you know, when the four of us play Monaco, it's about killing everybody. And peeing on somebody, which is kind of
that's what happened with Payday 2.
That's pretty much Hotline Miami, right?
Because I got
run around like an idiot and kill things.
So, anyways, that's what I've been up to.
Sweet. Let's go. Let's go with Nick. Nick, save us from this insanity.
From ourselves.
So, after a year and a half, I finally beat Diablo 3 on PC.
Yay!
Finally. And then I picked up the console version and started playing it on PlayStation 3. So,
we'll talk about the console version in a minute.
Yeah, I won't go into it. I haven't played much, but Mike can go into that more. The bulk of my time has actually been spent playing two games. One, not a co-op game, Last of Us, which, I don't know, it just finally, like, I got past the annoying early parts where there's no room for failure and got into the more meat of the game. And later on, there's some really good stuff, some really good levels. And I know Mike's going to appreciate the game when he plays through. The whole father-daughter relationship thing is obviously really explored and stuff like that. So,
yeah, I'm at what, about the halfway point-ish?
No, you're maybe earlier? A third through. Yeah, it's meaty. Like, it took me 13 hours to beat. Like, I don't know how people beat it in like 7 or 8 hours, unless you just there's some parts you can I guess basically sprint through and hopefully not get caught, but yeah, it's a meaty game. There's a good variety. You go through basically a whole bunch of seasons, so you get to see some good locations and stuff, but anyway, good stuff there. And then the other game I've been spending time with for the review for the site is Total War Rome 2. This came out last week, I believe. And if you ever played any of the other Total War games, the focus of it originally used to be on the big, huge battles. It's an RTS. It's about formations of your guys and positioning in territories, whether on hills or in forests, and kind of getting a leg up there. More recent games expanded into, there's like a turn-based part of it as well, and so there's a strategy section there, and then the battles take place in real time. It's pretty decent so far. The co-op in it, basically you start a co-op campaign, you each take control of a faction, and you're teamed up, and then you go through, you each take your turn, and then if you're in range of somebody else, you can support them in battles. And in the real time, you get to control your units and stuff like that. So that was pretty cool. The problem with the game is There's like 32 or 36 factions or something ridiculous. And in a co-op multiplayer campaign, you have to allow all of them, which means you take your turn in your set time, which is anywhere from like 1 to 5 minutes. And then you wait like 5 to 10 minutes as the computer takes all their turns. It's retarded.
You were telling me the other day you played it during your lunch break and you got through like 5 or 6 turns.
Yep. That's so the past past 2 days, me and a guy I work with, we've been playing it on our lunch break, and we've averaged about 6 turns a time. So yeah, it's kind of annoying. I don't know why they don't give you the ability to customize how many AI guys are on the map with you and stuff like that. The interface on it is really clunky too. There's just a lot going on. Everything's hidden behind little what do they call them? Like pop-up overlay kind of things. Like you got to hover over icons to see what they actually mean and stuff. So yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's really cool when you get into the battles with someone and you can support them, and there's some neat stuff you can do there. And the game has, battles at sea, actually, which is pretty neat. You can
you get some trireme action on.
Yeah, you can actually do so. You can like ram other ships and stuff. You can support the battles on land from sea as well, which is pretty cool. So there's some really nice ideas, but overall there's some annoyances that hold it back.
Sega owns the company that makes
Creative Assembly.
Creative Assembly. Yeah. So I've noticed in recent years that there have been an awful lot of Total War games, or at least expansions coming out. Have they basically annualized the series?
I guess so. From what I heard, because Tally played Shogun 2, which was last year's game, and the reviews and stuff of that, and our review too, is fantastic. They say it was like the best of the series. Unfortunately, it seems like this one's a few steps back. And like you said, also with the annualization, there's a lot of DLC going on. Like they're already, it launched, I think, with like 3 packs of DLC available, which was other factions to play as and units and stuff like that. So
lengthen each game by 15%.
So, but yeah, that's basically what I've been playing.
Awesome. So I have been playing. So I'll start out with non-co-op. I've been playing a little bit. I've been playing Killer is Dead, which is a game I really look forward to because I love the stuff Grasshopper Manufacture puts out. I like, No More Heroes and other games that they've done. And this is kind of a quasi follow up to Killer 7, which is a weirdest shit game. And this is a weirdest shit game. It's a third person brawler. It's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like No More Heroes and maybe God Hand a little bit, but it just runs like total garbage. The game is all but unplayable. It's really disappointing because they set up these like batshit insane levels and stories to go through, and then the game runs at like 10 frames a second when there's 2 enemies on the screen, and often there are more.
God.
And the screen, so there's a low frame rate, and combine that with the worst screen tearing I've ever seen, the game basically looks like, it looks like you're watching it through a buffering real player in the 90s.
Nice.
It's so bad, and it's really disappointing, and I haven't even gotten all the way into the parts where that people are saying is like, it's crazy sexist. So, I'm going to do a BC review on it. It's probably not going to be a good one unless that game shows me something super special in the next, couple hours of playing it.
Yep, you got to get that.
I started on...
No, I was going to say, usually in those Grasshopper games, you get to that point where it either clicks or it just dies and some...
You see, like, No More Heroes, you kind of have to... Because it's the game that's the most similar to, right? No More Heroes, you run in, you bash people with the sword, and then you simulate manual male stimulation to recharge the battery of your sword. And it's weird, but it's pretty entertaining. That those games had camera issues, but they played fast and fluid, and they're really great. This is essentially the same type of combat, except it's not fast and fluid. It's clunky. You can't see anything because the camera is hard to manipulate, and it's just a poor take on it, and it's really disappointing because it's super stylish looking. It looks awesome. So yeah, I started playing Final Fantasy 14. I did the MMO co-opportunities write up that's posted that 2 days ago, and it's another Final Fantasy MMO. I was extremely wary about that because Final Fantasy 11 was kind of boring, and you know you got to like level 5 and the game became 100% group content, and I didn't have any friends to play with. So that was a short-lived career. Final Fantasy XI originally launched in 2010 to a resounding thud. Basically, it came out. It was a clunker. Piece of crap. Square eventually got rid of the monthly fee for it, and the entire dev team got basically fired and replaced. And the new dev team said, "You know, we're just gonna shut this down and make it all over again." So fast forward to now, they have released the Final Fantasy XIV version 2.0, which is basically an entirely different game. But it's solid. It's one of the more solid MMOs I've played. I like it quite a bit. If you want to know more, read the write up because I'm not going to waste your time talking about minutia of MMOs. But the coolest thing about it is that you only ever need to make one tune because you can switch to any other class at any given time simply by you talk to an NPC, they allow you entry into that class's guild, and then they give you a weapon, and switching whatever weapon you're holding determines what class you are, and you can be every single class and swap on the fly if you want, which is pretty rad. But I have been playing mostly the past couple days the console version of Diablo 3, which I hate to say it, but the console version of Diablo 3 is a better game than the PC version of Diablo 3.
PC Master Race kicks you out.
I know.
Your card is revoked.
Okay, first things first, the user interface for console Diablo 3 is pretty bad. I don't like it at all. It combines like tabs with a radial menu, and it's just kind of rough to deal with, and I don't like that. But so they added three things that I think change it for the better. The first of which is it's no longer click to move. It's direct. You have direct control over your character, and you attack. Rather than clicking on an enemy to attack, you face in a direction and hold, the attack button, and you'll just start attacking in that direction, and you can snap to enemies to target them if you need to cast something on something specific. But it makes it feel more like a fast-paced brawler, and the combat almost feels more like a rhythm game. Like, I started out as the Witch Doctor, and I realized after getting a good ways into it that I just don't think the Witch Doctor is very fun to play. So I started back over, and I rolled the Monk, and it almost feels like you're bashing together, like, strings of combos rather than, queuing, on the PC, you're pressing the number keys, and you're basically doing a rotation. You might do some situational stuff, but like the melee focused characters, especially, you feel like you're hammering out like a skill combo, and everything chains together really nicely. And they still let you do like elective mode and take all the skills you want and customize which button that they're on. So it feels good. And they added an active dodge. So on the PC, every character has a dodge stat. You have a certain percentage to dodge something that gets to dodging a melee attack. And on the console, you can flick the right stick and manually dodge out of the way of attacks. And it makes the combat feel more involved. You're actively doing something that was passive on the PC. So that feels good. And so there's no online requirement. You can play it entirely offline, which is something the PC can't do. And it has, it has four player, you know, shared screen co-op. You know, get three buddies, hang out on the couch, and just, you know, go and kill things and get loot, and that's, it's great. You know, the PC version, everyone kind of goes every which way, especially if you're playing on Inferno, and you have all the enemies just annihilating you in one hit. You know, you basically have a podcat, and he comes in and he casts Meow of Thunder, or whatever.
Now you sold me.
Podcast Interrupticus.
And it... So on the PC version, you'd often have players scatter. So like big tough enemy shows up, players scatter to the four points of the map, and everyone tries to, you know, manage it themselves because it's really hard to get people to, you know, stay together. And the console version basically forces you to stay together, and it just feels a lot more co-op than the PC version did. So I'm having a lot of fun with that. The normal mode is way too easy on the PC, and you know, Blizzard eventually patched in the monster power thing that let you scale how difficult it is. But out of the box, the console version lets you say, you know what, I'm gonna play on Master Level 7 my first playthrough, and every enemy can one-shot me, and I'm gonna show how pro I am by, you know, actually beating stuff with no gear. You know, if you want to put your nuts right into the vice instead of grinding for 30 hours to get to Inferno, you're welcome to do that right now. So it's fun. I'm really digging it a lot more than I thought I would.
That's good to hear.
And that's kind of sad because I put a lot of time into that PC version. So let's move on into some headlines. And I guess the big one is that the Xbox One has a release date. It's November 22nd, which is going to be a very expensive day for some people.
Yeah.
November 22nd, the PlayStation 4 is launching the 15th?
Yep.
So it's launching 1 week later. But the PlayStation... So the worldwide launch of the Xbox One, minus Japan, I guess, is 22nd. But the PlayStation 4 is launching here on the 15th and in Europe on the 29th.
Yep. Yeah.
So, like, it's weird. It's coming out second here, but first in Europe.
Yeah, and flip-flops.
Not even coming out at all in Japan. And
February in Japan.
Well, that's the PlayStation 4 is February in Japan. The Xbox One doesn't have a Japanese release date yet, as far as I know. Just sometime next year.
Yeah.
So there's that. And, of course, on the 22nd, which is, you know... It's the day that Nintendo is also launching, like, four games that a lot of people want to play. And there's, like, a new Zelda, a new Mario, and all that. So TGS is right around the corner, and there was a pre-TGS Sony press conference the other day. And... out of that came a couple of good announcements. We have a Soul Sacrifice Delta, which is basically it's the same game, but it's got a bunch of improved content, if I'm not mistaken. It's got a lot of the DLC rolled in and new content there. And Nick?
Yeah, I know.
There's a new Phantasy Star.
It's still not the Phantasy Star I want, though.
What's the Phantasy Star you want?
I want a true single-player RPG.
Phantasy Star 5? Yeah. How about that?
Yeah, that's basically what I want.
So it's a new Phantasy Star for the Vita. It's called Phantasy Star Nova. It's basically it's kind of an offshoot of Phantasy Star Online 2, which still has no US release date, which is just pissing me off because I really want to play it. But it's, you know, multiplayer Phantasy Star, but it also has a single player campaign. So that could be pretty cool. And out of that same announcement conference, really, Sony announced that they are refreshing the PS Vita hardware. That's the PS Vita 2000. It's slightly slimmer. They put a crappier screen in it, and it has I think it's 1 gigabyte of onboard storage out of the box, so you could, you know, install like one or two games without dropping money on a an expansion card. It's going to be $200. It's the price everything got dropped to. And they announced a $100 set-top box called the PS Vita TV, which it's basically a Vita that hooks up to your TV and uses a DualShock 3 to operate, which means that it's not going to support a lot of the Vita games that, say, use the touchscreen.
Yeah, what's interesting, though, so they said that that can basically be used as a PlayStation 4 extender.
So you can, yeah, and, there's that.
And they said that, I guess when that happens, it's obviously going to be supporting the DualShock 4. But you wonder... Well,
the DualShock 4 doesn't have rear touch, does it?
It doesn't have the rear touch, but it does have a front touch screen thing. And you would think, for the most part, most of the games use the front touch.
Except the new Killzone game, which asks you to double tap the back of the Vita in order to sprint.
Oh.
Interesting. Okay.
Huh. Which is probably the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's a Killzone game, so it's already stupid.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason Killzone 2 ended with the main character facepalming.
Because it's the right thing to do.
But yeah, so apparently that Vita TV, though, it's already sold out on online retailers and stuff, so it's going to be pretty popular. And I mean, the big thing is, I mean, we've seen already indie games on the Vita and PSN kind of thing have just exploded. So
yeah. So Nick, I hear you like spending money.
Like it? No, but it's a necessary evil, it seems.
Aren't you happy that more Disney Infinity figures are coming in November?
Nope.
Aren't you super glad that they are also a tie-in to Disney's holiday movie, Frozen?
Lord.
To shield my daughter from it. So expensive.
Well, you know, for the mere price of $30, you can get two new figures. And some power discs.
Yeah.
Power discs sound really fun.
So yeah, Disney Infinity is pretty goddamn expensive. And they're just going to keep releasing stuff. And as a curious side note, they've been they do a weekly video series where they kind of promote what people have made in Toy Box. And someone made the floating city of Columbia in Toy Box using basically Main Street USA graphics.
Wow.
Yeah, so I went to check it out with Izzy, and I got an interesting error. I've been meaning to go back to see if I can replicate it. But it basically, the error I got said, this content is not compatible with the Xbox you have.
What?
Yeah. I don't know what that means. I mean, it's on, like, one of the first Xboxes, but I have, like, plenty of hard drive space on it and everything else, but that was the error message I got. And I tried it multiple times to download it. It did not work. But the other new ones that they had put up, the new Toy Box.
The Death Star Trench Run.
Yeah, like, that. Those all work just fine, so...
Weird.
I need to try and see what's going on there.
Isn't it kind of interesting that they're promoting the user made content in this, yet the one that they're like, look at this, is for an M-rated game that the target audience
of the video is great.
Infinity should never play.
Because they never say BioShock, they say other popular gaming franchise, I think is how they kept referring to it or something.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. And it's weird hearing John Vignacchi in a non-Bombcast context narrating those videos, if you know who he is. So yeah, let's swing around a little bit and talk about something basically the exact opposite of Disney, unless you accuse them of hating Jews.
What?
That's
Sniper Elite Nazi there Zombie Army 2.
Yeah, there it is.
Is it? Yep. that's a thing that just happened.
That's a segue
for you, folks.
I
like
right
it.
There.
I support this decision.
I try. So we really wanted to like Nazi Zombie Army. It was pretty fun, but it had some balance issues. And it looks like they are coming at us with another Nazi Zombie Army. And they're aiming to hit this year. I don't know if they're actually going to do it. But
get it, aiming, and it's about sniping.
And it's like Monaco.
Hey, you know, some people say that Walt Disney hated the Jews. I'm just saying.
We should probably move on before.
Offend somebody? Too late.
Okay, so
offend
so we,
everybody.
We talked about Diablo 3 earlier. Last time around we talked about the expansion pack, the Reaper of Souls. And good news, sounds like it's going to be coming to the console versions as well. I don't know why this is news. I would assume that Blizzard would try and make as much money as possible. But it's good to know that they are looking out for the new members of the Diablo family.
Yeah.
So, get your, whatever they're calling the Paladin now.
Defender. What was it called?
And
Defender?
They fix the loot.
Crusader.
Yes, that's it. So it's the fall gaming season. We just marveled at the fact
that's
that it's mid-September. And about this time of year, we like to sit back and take stock at the games to come. So let's talk about some fall games and maybe spit a little bit about what we know about all these and what we're looking forward to. So let's start with tomorrow's release. That would be September 12th. The long-awaited Arma 3 for the PC.
It's got guns in it and army men. That's all I know.
And mortars.
It's got mortars that launch their users into the sky. But that's got 16-player online and LAN play.
Yeah,
which is
there's some
pretty
crazy
rad.
Like if you really can get into that, like there is a crazy hardcore community around.
Oh yeah, it's
Arma
awesome.
And making custom missions and. Like, I think Arma 2, someone had created a mod to do, like, 256-player co-op. And, like, I know it sounds ridiculous, but, like, they literally, like, you know, they use, like, army, like, designations and squads and groups and, like, everybody...
They dropped a whole goddamn battalion
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, no, and it's insane. And, like, they had to write special, like, they had, like, multiple dedicated servers just to run the AI for these, like, custom mods and stuff because there's so many... things going on at once. So there's some really cool, if you like YouTube, like Arma 2 co-op stuff, there's some really good groups out there that run it, and like it just looks insane. Like, I mean, these guys are serious about like war simulation, and
they're so serious that two of their developers got put in jail for accusations of espionage because they were checking out something
that's
near
hardcore.
A military base.
Yeah, so
that is hardcore.
And the other thing, I can't think of the mod that runs on Arma, right?
DayZ,
right? So I believe that's going to be based on the Arma 3 engine,
the standalone version of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that's co-op-ish.
Yeah.
It's got the PvP aspect, but it's still co-op too, so.
Well, you can choose. You either shoot
the
guy in
the
face or you help him.
Yeah.
Kick the puppy, kill the puppy.
Kick the puppy.
Save the puppy. So, yeah. On Friday, it's been out in, I guess, early release alpha or beta for a while, but Legend of Dungeon is coming out.
I'll have to download the final version.
Yeah, it's got four-player local co-op. It's a good pixely-looking dungeon crawler.
Screw Diablo.
This Sunday, the 15th, the wonderful 101 comes out for the Wii U, which is... basically, Platinum Games' very action-y take on Pikmin that is apparently quite difficult and hard to follow. And it has five-player co-op, and I believe it's kind of an asymmetric mode, since one player is going to have the gamepad, and the game involves drawing lots of stuff. So that should be interesting to check out. Hopefully we'll have a review of that soonish. On the 17th, although I guess we should probably add 2 weeks to this, GTA 5 is coming out. I know a lot of people are looking forward to this, but more interest to us is Grand Theft Auto Online, which supports 16 players. We don't know how much of that is co-op versus competitive type stuff, but I saw some people wandering around while other people flew around in jet planes, which... it seemed like it could be pretty rad, and that's launching in late September, early October.
Yeah, they said the co-op stuff is probably going to be like 4 to 6 player like heists and stuff like that.
That'll be pretty sweet. So I'm getting that on the PS3 because I don't want to deal with swapping the discs on the Xbox.
I think I'll wait for the next gen version, which apparently was been leaking quite a bit lately.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm gonna ride the zeitgeist on that, but on that one. And here's a good one. On the 18th, Ironclad Tactics is coming out, and that is it's got 2-player online co-op, and that is a steampunk alternate history Civil War card based game. So it's lane based combat. Lock.
Yeah, I'm following.
With cards.
Soulforge.
Lock. And it involves unleashing robots that run on steam during the Civil War. So you'll have dudes with rifles going and cannons going up against goddamn robots.
That does sound cool.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I actually last PAX I played a co-op game with the
Yes,
the developer. They actually randomly ran into us trying to pimp their game.
I remember that. They like grabbed us and like, you gotta come see it.
And it was really cool. I actually ran into the guys from Final Form Games, or the Jamestown guys, over at that booth, and we talked about that game and played it. It was pretty fun when I checked it out. Hopefully it still holds true. But yeah, that's for the PC. It's coming out on the 18th. Moving on to October, on the PS3, on the 8th, we have Beyond Two Souls, David Cage's next cinematic masterpiece, hopefully with 100% less awkward accents.
No. Just no. There will be even more awkward accents than before.
I fully expect Ellen Page to suddenly sound like she's from Eastern Europe.
I mean, have you seen like the character cap that they did of Willem Dafoe, which basically looks like the character cap of Willem Dafoe from the Spider-Man 2 game on PS2.
Gross. So that's got 2-player co-op, and 1-player is on a tablet doing a second screen interaction, so that will certainly be interesting to check out for sure. On the 13th, we have Skylanders Swap Force for basically everything the original Skylanders came out for, and now I believe there's a Wii U version added into the mix. It's got 2-player local co-op. You can take the figures and you can rip them in half and put the top of other figures on top of the bottom of other ones and make new characters, kind of basically remixing their abilities, which seems pretty neat.
A reverse centaur?
Sure. That would be pretty awesome.
How would the horse have to go on top, though? I mean, it would just get heavy and fall. Sorry.
I don't know. So Skylanders still has 2-player local co-op. On the 18th, we have Lego Marvel Superheroes, again, for everything that will support a video game at this point. And that's got 2-player local co-op as well, basically the same as every Lego game ever. And now that they don't put online into them anymore.
Do you collect bits in this?
I believe you collect plenty.
Yeah, collect some bits. Yeah.
Lego pieces. Yeah. And you fill up a meter.
Got it.
Yep. Yeah. And there's probably Wolverine. I don't know. Maybe Thor. He's got a movie coming out. He'll probably be on the front of the box.
Stan Lee's in it, too, I believe.
Lego Stan Lee.
Yeah. That'd be awesome you know, if he was a...
The most reclusive of all Legos. On the 29th, we have Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag for, you know, all of the consoles. The PC and the next-gen stuff has an undetermined release date at this point, but I'm pretty sure they'll follow within a month. So the Wolfpack mode from 3 is back, you know, it's 4-player online co-op. Also on the 29th, we have Angry Birds Star Wars for basically all the consoles. It's got 2-player couch co-op. You fling the birds, and they look like Star Wars characters now.
Woo!
Woo!
I like it.
That's great. Moving on to November, which is actually pretty light considering all the stuff that's actually coming out, including 2 new consoles. The first game we have listed is coming out with the PS4 at launch, and that's Knack, and has 2-player local co-op. And in November, on the 22nd, the Xbox One launches with both Rise and Dead Rising 3, and both of those have two-player online co-op. And the Rise's co-op mode is it's arena battles that exist outside the campaign, correct?
Yeah.
So, you know, get your Gladiator on. Be sad that it's not so Gladius. Choked.
Oh, I know, man, that game was great.
So underrated.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry for making everyone sad. And also on that day, a game I'm actually really looking forward to is Super Mario 3D World. It has four-player local co-op. I really, 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 really liked Mario 3D Land. And so I will be all over this, even if the co-op is usually hit or miss in Nintendo's Nintendo's co-op games are usually pretty hit or miss. So it could be bad, but more 3D Mario, I'll take it. And that wraps it up. You know, we've got some like ports of games that came out on earlier platforms, like the terrible, terrible Ninja Turtles game comes out at the end of September.
Yay!
PS3, if you absolutely must play it. No, I wouldn't recommend it. And really, that's it. Anything that you guys are particularly looking forward to on this list?
Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, but I'm waiting on that until it's on the next-gen console.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
Ironclad Tactics.
Kind of light, isn't it?
GTA 5, of course. Very curious about Wonderful 101. Legend of Dungeon, I think, is going to be good. But that's all coming out in the next, like, week and a half. But days, mostly... Yeah.
We're looking forward to Beyond next week.
Well, in the fall here, I think Dead Rising 3. I love that series so much. And this one's going to be big. It's going to be huge. And it may even get me to purchase an Xbox. Who knows? Dude.
Strong words. Lock Vincent saying Dead Rising 3 is a system seller.
I think it's the first game I played on Xbox 360.
Megaton.
Might be. Can't remember. Yeah.
The original Dead Rising?
I still have a fond memory of the prisoners coming out and then that song going off. The, like, sort of hardcore rap song, and they drive around in that Hummer. It's one of the best gaming moments.
I remember something about a clown juggling chainsaws, and I was
nightmare fuel.
You know, I'm not afraid of clowns, but clowns with chainsaws,
totally different ball game. But
yeah, he changed the game.
When does Forza come
out? So yeah.
At launch,
yeah.
Cars, because that's what matters.
Well, you know, that's the measuring, you know, it's Triple H's hair and cars are the two measuring sticks by which the next generation will be measured.
I didn't realize Triple H's hair was that impressive.
Oh, the hair in wrestling games is always fantastic.
Is it like the mounds of meat measure now? Like, how good does Triple H's hair look on next-gen consoles?
Well, he shaved his head, so...
That was pretty terrible.
Apparently not good
at all. Yeah, just awful.
He'll be a bald
space
marine.
You can see, like, the little 5 o'clock shadow.
So, I think we've basically run out of nice things to say about this whole slate, so I'm going to wrap this up. So,
I think we ran out of nice things to say, like, at the start of the podcast.
I'm sorry, it's really hot.
It is.
We ran out of nice things when he started talking about cranky. Disney hating the Jews or something. I mean, that was doesn't get much worse than that.
That's when the co-op together took a dark, dark, dark turn.
Yeah, I got that new playset with Disney's in Nazi Germany.
It's just a conspiracy theory. I don't actually believe it. It's
toy just, box is just a euphemism hate. For furnace, isn't it? Yeah, we went there.
Stop the show!
You went there.
Stop the show. Oh, God.
Good Lord. Nick, you're killing Jason. You're killing him. He's choking. He is actually dying.
Well, it's a co-op to cast first. Someone dies on air.
We got to get the hits. We got to get the hits somehow.
It's a podcast first. Yeah. So let's wrap this up. If you want to, if you would like to support Co-Optimus, you should check out our iOS, Windows Phone 7, and Android apps to read us on the go. Buy some shirts from our Split Reason affiliate. I know the fall gaming shows such as Gamescom and PAX are now over, but PAX East is right around the corner, and you too can own a pretty awesome Co-Optimus t-shirt. Get those at Split Reason. You can leave feedback for us on iTunes. We really love to hear a good rating. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Stroke the ego.
Nick will do something real nice if we get 5-star ratings.
Sure.
So you can follow us on Twitter. We are at Co-Optimus without the dash. We have Facebook presence. We have Google Plus presence. Check us out. Read us on your tablet, on your phone. Locke, you got anything
for the cheat code hotline? No, but I forgot to talk about foul play. Damn it. Next week. Yeah.
Next time.
Next week. Okay.
Next time on the Co-Opticast.
You can leave us a voicemail if you like. That's 646-926-6748. Jason is lonely. That we pipe it straight to his phone, and it never rings.
So sad. There are tears coming down from my face because I'm so sad. That's nothing to do with the comment earlier.
Yeah, nothing to do with the fact that he almost choked to death.
He's actually crying. Just so sad.
Because I reminded him of his secret pain. So anyway, that's going to do it for the Co-Opticast this week. I'm Mike for Nick, Jason, and Locke. I'm going to call this thing over, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
Later.
Bye.